How can I keep from singing?
God is good,
all the time.
We greet you this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. It's a special joy to welcome our visitors who are with us today also, and we encourage you to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. We can send you emails about upcoming opportunities, places to serve, places to be discipled. There's a lot going on right now at First Baptist, and we're excited about that. We especially want to extend a welcome to our guest, Amy Carroll, and Laura is going to come in just a moment and share a little bit more about you, but I wanted to say to you personally again, welcome to First Baptist. Thank you for coming and sharing this message that God has given you. This week, we encourage you to take time to look at the salmon-colored sheets out in the lobby to see what opportunities. You'll hear a little bit more from David and from Michael about Sunday activities, both in the morning and the evening. As we just said, there is a lot going on, and there is something for everyone to participate in, opportunities to serve and to be discipled. As we continue to worship today, let us think about how perfect our Savior is and how imperfect we are and how His love covers the distance between us.
First Baptist Eland does want to welcome our guest speaker, Amy Carroll, her husband, Barry, who's over here, and also want to welcome her family, who is also here today. She has two sons, Anson and Nolan, who are both in college. I have known the Carroll family for years, so it is truly a pleasure to see you and have you all here with us today. As an author and a member of the Proverbs 31 Ministry Speakers Team, Amy has an extensive speaking and traveling schedule all over the United States. So we are quite thankful that she has come to be with our church today. Amy also writes for Proverbs 31 daily online devotions called Encouragement for Today, which are now distributed to over 750,000 people worldwide. She is the author of Breaking Up with Perfect and the director of Next Step Speaker Services. Amy's true passion is leading women to a deeper relationship with God. Amy, we thank you for being here, and we look forward to hearing the message from you later in the service. Our opening scripture comes from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose hope is in the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoner free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow. But the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Father, as we gather in your house this day, we invoke your name, knowing that your Holy Spirit has descended upon us in this place, in this time, on this day. We lift praise to you through our words, through our actions, through our songs. And Father, if we enter this place with any other agenda than to praise your name, may we check it at the door, because that is why we're here. Praise God. Praise the Lord forever and ever. We lift this prayer in your Son's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and sing our hymn of praise, 10,000 Reasons, Bless the Lord. Please stand.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. The sun comes up. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your songs again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before.
Your Sunday school director. I'm here to thank everyone that has volunteered to either teach or to watch in the nursery so the parents that do have little ones can attend a Sunday school class. I'm very grateful for those that give up their time to prepare lessons for everybody to learn something throughout the week. Also, if you are looking for a Sunday school class, not sure which one to attend, you can either see myself or John Hines in the Sunday school office or see one of the teachers and we'll help you find a class. I also recommend you maybe visit a couple different classes to see which one suits your style and which one you feel more comfortable in learning something more about the Bible, and therefore. At this time, I'd like to recognize Danny Prim. We recognize our upcoming first graders this time every year. We have a Bible for them. Come on, Danny. Don't be shy. Come on up. I'm not going to make you give a speech. Thank you.
Or you can snap through. Whichever one you choose.
That's the shyest I've ever seen Danny ever. It is my pleasure to get to introduce our Sunday night ministries. I am excited. As Mason said earlier, something about Sunday night. When we get started back with Sunday night, there's a new energy. There's a new passion. It starts in Sunday morning and it just carries through. There is an opportunity for every age on Sunday night. It starts this year at 4 o'clock. We've got a little bit different schedule, and so I wanted to point out all those differences so you'll know where you fit in. At 4 o'clock, Mason will be leading our adult Bible study. 4 o'clock, we'll meet in the Truth Seekers classroom. I encourage you to come out with that. Mason follows up on his sermons on Sunday morning, goes into additional discussion. I really encourage you to come, all our adults, at 4 o'clock for Mason's study for the adults. Now, following that at 5 o'clock is the time to gather around the table. That's for all ages. Fellowship meal upstairs in the fellowship hall. Please come out 5 to 5:30, a wonderful meal every Sunday night for all age groups. Now, at 5:30 is when our kids and our youth get started. Youth will begin with consuming fire at 5:30. We begin with worship and lead over into our studies. For our kids at 5:30, Laura will be meeting with you for kids' music time. You will be excited. There's going to be singing. There's going to be instruments. It may be a lot of noise down the hallways for the kids this year. So children, come out at 5:30 for that music time. They will then transition to our missions group, our RAs, GAs, mission friends at 6:15 on Sunday night. So from 5:30 to 7, youth and children will meet. Now, that's not all. You think, wow, that's a lot, but that's not it. At 6:15, Laura will be leading with the praise band. If you are interested in singing, beautiful time of worship we just had just a minute ago. If you're interested in joining this group that's singing up here or playing an instrument, please, please, please come at 6:15. Talk to Laura. She'll give you more information about that. Then at the very end, at 7 o'clock, youth, you're encouraged to stay for youth praise time. Laura will be leading that down here in the sanctuary as well. A wonderful time to get involved in worship. Opportunities for every age. You might be thinking, well, you didn't mention me. I did. And if you need more questions about it, please see me after the worship service. Opportunities for every age and a wonderful opportunity for you. Now, I do want to remind our ministry teams tonight that at 4 o'clock we will be having church council this afternoon. We will be meeting in the youth room for church council, so please, ministry teams, be represented for that meeting for church council. That's Sunday night. That's a whole lot of things going on, so if you have any questions, see myself, see Laura, see Mason, and we can fill you in on the details. All the details are on your Salmon color sheet as well. Now, transitioning to something else. This Tuesday night, our women's ministry is sponsoring the opportunity to going to see the movie The War Room. Now, I'm sure you heard about this movie. It is everywhere. It was the highest grossing movie last weekend. We blew the record books off the charts for movies. It is a great movie, and it's an opportunity for our church to come together to do this. Now, women's ministry is sponsoring it. That doesn't mean it's only for women. Anybody who would like to go, we're going to meet at the movie theater on Tuesday night at 5:05, okay? 5:05, not 5 o'clock, 5:05. If you get there at 5 o'clock, wonderful. The movie starts at 5:20, and it'll be a wonderful opportunity to gather. That is Tuesday night at the movie theater at Alamance Crossing, okay? So if you have any details or questions about that, see Liz Hill over here. Liz, wave your hand. Or see Laura, who has more details about that, but that's Tuesday. Just some
wonderful
of the
movie.
What's that?
Wonderful.
Wonderful movie. We've got already a testimony in the back here. So if you want to see the movie, go with the group on Tuesday night. If you have any questions about any other ministry opportunities, please, please, please see us if there's any questions.
Please stand and sing our offertory hymn, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. It's in your hymnal, number 216. Pray. Our Father, you've been so good to us. We feel so blessed by you. Please bless these tithes and offerings that we return. In your name we ask it. Amen.
6 months ago, I was invited to do the welcome at my church. Now, if you were invited to do the welcome at this church, I would know how to advise you. Because, see, I'm a speaker coach, and I'm a church girl. So I would be able to tell you exactly what to do, and I would tell you, you need to see this as an important assignment. There are no small assignments. So you need to be praying, and if you're really spiritual, maybe you'll fast a day too. And if you're super spiritual, you should get here early and you should pray over these pews and just be ready to do the welcome. But when I was asked to do the welcome, I didn't do any of those things. I thought, I've been a speaker for 10 years, easy. And then I proceeded to go to my closet to do the most important thing, which was to pick out a cute outfit. And so that is how I prepared. I didn't even ask to have the details of the welcome that I was supposed to include before I started. So I got to church that day, rushed up to our worship pastor, the nicest man in the whole world, and he gave me the details. But as the song finished, and it was my turn to stand up to do the welcome, something unusual happened. I always get a little nervous before I speak, but I was super nervous. I couldn't breathe. My hands were shaking. And so I stumbled over my words, and then I had to tear off this piece of our bulletin, and I was trying to hold the microphone and hold this, and I looked like I needed another arm, and it was a disaster. I just had a meltdown right in front of everybody, and I didn't just think it was bad. I know it was bad because the nicest man in the whole world, our worship pastor, when I saw him in the hallway, he said, "Oh, Amy, thank you for doing the welcome this morning." I said, "Ryan, you know that was terrible." And the nicest man in the whole wide world went through his Rolodex of all the nice things that he could say, and he couldn't think of anything. Not one thing. And so I went to the library, because we have three services, and I thought, I got to pull myself together. And I went to the library to lick my wounds, and at first I got to tell you that I was ashamed and I was humiliated, but I was mad. Have you ever done that? Like, you want to blame somebody else for your disaster? And so I went and I thought, if only that sound man would have given me an over-the-ear mic and I didn't need that third arm. And if only Ryan would have sent me the details before time. But you know what the truth was? When I settled down, it was nobody's fault but my own. And so I asked God, where did I miss it? Where did I fail? And God is so faithful to tell us the truth about ourselves. And he said, "Amy, you are prideful." And I realized that my pastor, for the very first time, the man that leads our church that I love and respect and admire so much, it was the first time he was ever sitting in the pew when I was up on stage. And I had wanted to impress him. And that pridefulness led to this really selfish attitude where it was really all about me. And in that moment, I failed. I failed. And you say, "Well, Amy, it was just the welcome. It was 1 minute. What's the big deal?" But I got to thinking, and I was like, who was in the audience that day that needed to feel like they were folded into our church family? Who was in the audience that day that had listened to the haters all week long and just needed to hear a little love in somebody's voice? And who was in that audience that day that had had some kind of devastation that they needed to hear some joy in a welcome at church? But here's the truth. It was an important assignment. But I could have done it flawlessly and still been powerless. Because what people really need is they need to see our weakness, because our weakness allows others to experience God's power. Now, that's hard to wrap our brains around in our culture, because our culture doesn't like weakness. Our culture likes perfection. And in a million different ways, every single day, we bump into that demand for perfection. Maybe you're on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, and you look at everybody else's perfect family interactions and their perfect vacations, and all you can think about is how you just don't measure up. Or maybe in your mommy group, where the pecking order is determined by the benchmarks your child is reaching. They're talking, they're walking, all the little things that children learn to do as they're growing up. And your child is lagging behind. And you feel like you're never enough as a mother. So our culture tells us how to look the part every single day. Magazine covers portray the perfect human body. And if you're like me, who is losing a struggle with her weight, you stand in line and you look at those perfect people on the front of the magazines and think about how you fail. And it tells us how we're supposed to look because the malls are filled with fashions. And maybe when you go, you just think, I'm not hip enough or rich enough to look the way I'm supposed to look. And our culture tells us every day what it means to be successful. The American dream dictates how you live, and may be the people around you who are retired. They look like they're living in financial ease, but the truth about your reality is that you worry about money every day of your life. And the American dream says that moving up the career ladder is a goal, but maybe you bump into not enough experience, not the right degree. And for you high school students in here, it's so heavy on you. And academic success is defined by the choices you have at the end. And so you pray for those perfect test grades and those perfect scores and the awards so that you can have your college of choice at the end. Every single day, our culture tells us how to be perfect. And mostly, as Americans, we deal with that pressure with our American work ethic, don't we? We're pull ourselves up by the bootstraps kind of people. And so when we fall short and we feel ourselves falling short, which is so often for most of us, we work harder and harder and harder. But I want to tell you today that God crafted us to live in His image, not to create our own. So what do we do? Because imperfection is not what we're shooting for. We're created to live in God's image. Paul in Matthew 5:48, Jesus in Matthew 5:48 said, "Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect." Paul says to the church in 2 Corinthians 13:11, "Aim for perfection." In Colossians 1:8, he tells the church he wants them to mature so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. But here's the problem. I think particularly in modern church today, we use the word excellence as a mask for our own perfectionism. We hide behind that when really what it is our own effort. And see, the way in our culture that we define perfectionism is that it's all wrapped up in success and numbers, and it's measured in dollars, and it's judged by physical appearance and beauty. But that's not the way God defines perfect. In Scripture, the word perfect that seems so intimidating to us, how could I possibly be perfect like my Father is perfect? That word is defined differently than we define it. It's defined as mature, whole, and complete. And in those scriptures, the way that their perfection was measured was not the external things that we measure as a culture. It's this internal work of love and peace and unity and of living in Christ. So instead of pursuing our own idea of perfection, or instead of embracing our imperfections, which seems to be somewhat of a movement right now, I want us to think of a different scale. And I want to just challenge you, like I've been challenging myself, to live in Him perfection. And you might say, what is Him perfection? Well, it's this equation that I've come to think of, where Him perfection equals our weakness plus God's power. So 2 Corinthians 12:9 says it exactly like God's been speaking it to me. And it says, "But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me.'" Now, I wanted to dig into that a little bit for you all this week, and so I did some root word studies, and I came up with a very unscholarly Amy translation based on what I learned from those word studies, and it goes kind of like this. "My grace will completely satisfy you, for my ability to accomplish a work is completed in your inability." Isn't that upside down from what our world tells us every day? That we need to work harder and be more. That's what's going to accomplish God's purposes. And God says the exact opposite here. He wants to satisfy us with his grace in a way that we will never be satisfied pursuing our own perfection. But there's a requirement. It requires relinquishing our own efforts, our own pursuit of our own perfection to God and resting in his perfection. And when we do surrender our weaknesses to his power, not only are we personally satisfied, but our lives will begin to have impact on the people around us. Our weakness allows others to experience God's power. Scripture is very, very clear. We are unable to accomplish the calling that he's put in our lives, but he is completely able. And when we live imperfected lives, we're able to bring God's perfection, that maturity, that wholeness into other people's lives too. But only when we end our own pursuit of perfection can God start his perfecting work in us. And only when we stop presenting our own strengths to the world can God transform people's lives in our world with his power. That's how it starts. So I'm a brass tacks kind of girl, and I wanted to pass on to you, how do we do this? What does it look like to live so counterculturally from what everything around us tells us to do? Well, Jesus always simplified things. Sometimes we make things so complicated, and I love to have a long to-do list and check it off. But Jesus gave us two things to do. They were the greatest commandments. He told us to love God and to love others. And that's it. He boiled it down to those two things. So I want to think about those two things for a minute in relation to how do we live out of our own weakness. The first one, love God. About 10 years ago, I was in a bad place. I was a woman in ministry, but I was numb inside. I had just been working so much and so hard and doing so much in my own strength that I could not feel God's love for me anymore. One day I met with Maggie, a friend of mine who had just come to Christ. And Maggie, you know new Christians? They're like so vibrant, so happy, so alive. They're so, it's all so new to them. They're so excited about it. It's really contagious. And so Maggie was telling me about everything Jesus was doing in her life and how her life was changing. And at the end of our time, we were doing prayer requests. Maggie shared her prayer request. And the whole time she did it, I was thinking through it. And I thought, do I want to share mine? Because I don't really want to look imperfect here. But Maggie has got something that I used to have that I'm missing now. And so I talked to Maggie, and I decided to be real with her. And I said, Maggie, I'm numb. As much as I'm trying to pursue God and pray and have my quiet time and do all of those things, during my quiet time, I'm getting ready for my Sunday school class or for a speaking event or for writing the next devotion. I don't really know how to handle this because I just don't feel God's love for me and this excitement that I see in you anymore. And this new Christian showed up, the old Christian, because she said to me, Amy,
when's the last time you spent time with God just for the joy of it? Just to love on God and let God love on you. When was the last time you weren't working on a project when you were spending time with God? And that new Christian nailed it. She got it just right because I couldn't even remember. I was always using my quiet time to pursue God for something else. And God just wants us to love Him. Because in that quiet time, that's the place where we can't fake it. Right? That's the time when Jesus, we know He sees into the center of us, and we can pretend with Him, but really and truly we know that we can't hide from Him. And that's the place where God does His work. Because as hard as you and I work to create spiritual growth, guess what? That's not our job. And we can't do it. And so we have to go to Him in love and trusting Him to love us so that the spiritual growth comes from that place of loving God. See, the truth is that perfectionism and the way that we pursue it, it's an external work, right? I mean, we've talked about magazine covers and the amount of money in your bank account. All that's external work, and that's all we can do. But you know what God does? His perfecting work is an internal work. And we know that imperfection is complete when internal maturity exceeds our external image. So we have to spend time loving God and in His presence. And then we love others. And loving others requires vulnerability. See, that's the problem, and that's the struggle I had with perfectionism all those years, is that when you're a perfectionist, you have to keep people at arm's length, because if they get close to you, they know you're not perfect. So you have to be vulnerable to really love others. And the way that we do that is to tell stories of our weakness so that Jesus is revealed as the hero, just like Paul said, that he boasts in his weakness so that Christ's power would rest on him. That's how it rests on us too. Deep internal vulnerability leads to deep internal connections. Last year, I spent a good part of the year writing down lots and lots and lots of my failures, my weaknesses, ways that I had really not succeeded in life. And they were put into a book, and it was really hard. And I got to tell you, it was not the book I wanted to write. I wanted to write the book where I was the expert, and I had it together, and I could share with you. But when I closed that book, when I finished that book, I realized I am still in process. God is not finished doing this work in me, and I felt very, very weak. But that very weakness is allowing me to make deep connections with other women. I got this email from a woman who was in the midst of a friendship crisis, and she said, "I was afraid to show up real and vulnerable, afraid that I'd lose this precious friendship, and now I have lost it. I let fear show up instead of my imperfections. I let my striving for approval run my emotions and demand more from her than any human could possibly give. I wish I could have just been me, imperfect me, because I was already accepted. But instead, I felt like I had to have it all together with every spiritual answer I could muster up. And finally, the friendship broke. I have cried through the entire introduction of your book, sitting at the boardwalk in my car. Thank you for writing this tool of freedom." I'm so humbled by that. But see, I had to be vulnerable to make that kind of connection, and so do you. God calls us to show our vulnerability, to share our weaknesses, because only God's power only shows up when we are weak. So I could have an assignment for you this week. Every day for the next 7 days, I want you to spend time with God. Even if you only have 5 minutes, I want you to spend time with God, loving Him and allowing Him to love you. The second part of the challenge is a little harder. That's the fun part. The second part is I want you to tell a story of your weakness to someone this week and make God the hero of your story. to share some place that you have failed, but God showed up, to make God real to somebody else in your life. It's amazing how those stories will hit your heart. February 2nd, this last year, there was a story of failure that really hit my heart. Now, I'm not a big sports fan. My husband has a lot of angst about that. I'm not a big sports fan, but I was fascinated by the Super Bowl last year. And one of the reasons that I was fascinated because of Russell Wilson and his, he just proclaims Christ. He's such a strong Christ follower and unashamed. And so I wanted to see Russell Wilson play for the Seahawks against the Patriots and beat that deflate guy. You know, I like wanted to see this happen. And so I watched from beginning to the end, which is very unusual, a full football game, and got to witness Russell Wilson's epic fail at the end of the Super Bowl. Probably some of you did too. For those of you who didn't, in the last seconds of the game, the Seahawks were just feet from the end zone. All they had to do was get that ball over the line. And Russell Wilson threw an interception to lose the game. The next day, somehow in my Twitter feed, because I didn't follow him at the time, one of his tweets showed up. So I started reading through it, and here's how it went. Tweet number one: at 26 years old, I won't allow one play or one moment to define my career. I will keep evolving. I was like, good for you, Russell. And then I read down, every setback has a major comeback. And I read down one more where he said, I will love you, oh my Lord, my strength. Now here's what's fascinating. As I started studying this Twitter feed, I looked at the timestamps, and I remembered that the top one is the last one. So here's how it went. At 3:43 a.m., can you imagine? I mean, I wasn't there. I didn't read about it. But the man was awake at 3:43 a.m., I'm guessing agonizing over the last seconds of that game, rerunning it in his head, that weakness, that failure, in front of the biggest worldwide crowd that was watching it on TV. And he says at 3:43, he reminds himself, I will love you, my Lord, my strength, from Psalm 18. So in his weakness, he remembered God's strength. And then at 4:41 a.m., he tweets, every setback has a major comeback. Do you hear what's happening? He's embraced his weakness. He's acknowledged God's strength, and his perspective is shifting. And he's saying, God can make a comeback here. And at the end, at 26 years old, I will not allow one play or one moment to define my career. I will keep evolving. He understood the impact that his life had. And with confidence, he stood in his weakness, coupled with God's strength to have imperfection. Now, here's what I'm hoping. I want Russell to be in the Super Bowl again next year. It might be the second football game I've ever watched from beginning to end. Because we serve a God of second chances. And I'm counting on that second chance for Russell, just like I counted on God for a second chance for me. And on July 7th, I stood on the stage of my church again. And beforehand, I felt so weak. And it was a crowd kind of like today. I would rather speak in front of 1,000 strangers than people I know, because they're going to see me tomorrow, right? And there are a lot of people I know in this group too, and I'm blessed by that. But it makes me nervous. And I felt nervous and weak and anxious, because here's this book with every failure written down in it. And I came to God and said, God, I need for you to be strong. And I searched his word for something that we could all stand on. And I stood in front of the crowd at my church to speak. And just like he does, every time when we're weak, he shows up in his power. And here's the thing. In that moment, it looked like success, but it wasn't. It was imperfection. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we come to you And God, we know that you know we are weak. God, I pray that we would come to you and spend time with you and not posture and pretend and hide. But we would come to you weak. And as Paul said, that we would boast in our weakness. And that we would trust you to be powerful in our lives, Lord. So that in turn, our lives would become powerfully impactful in the lives around us. Oh God, our world, they need to know you. They need to see you. And the way that happens for people that aren't in church is that they see you in us. And so, God, I pray that you would help us to stop creating our own image and that we would just live fully in yours, human, frail, and weak, but acknowledging you as the hero of our story, the all-powerful, all-knowing, able to transform lives, God. We pray this in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.
Stand for our hymn of response. It's in your hymn book, number 411. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus.